Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Today, it's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. I'm excited about having our good friend Clara Villarosa back on the show. Clara is an eight-year member of our Brain Trust. She's been hanging out with us for a while. She's an NAACP Image Award nominee for her book, Down to Business, which, as I remember, I think I helped her launch on the show when it first came out, and she's an entrepreneur from way back, having owned a bookstore back when bookstores were cool, and she's our good friend, Clara Villarosa. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have you here. You're a mom and a grandmother, and you're still rocking and rolling after all these years, aren't you, Clara?
And remember, I'm an octogenarian plus seven.
You see, I told the audience I was going to make you say that. I wasn't going to, but congratulations! You're an inspiration to all of us and my hero. So, Clara, you took an unusual path to entrepreneurship. Talk to us about it.
Right. I started out when I was a little girl wanting to be a school teacher because in my school there were three black teachers and they were pretty and smart. So I said, I want to grow up and I'll be a school teacher.
I want to be like them.
I'll be like them. And when I got into college, I student teaching was too many people in the classroom.
Right.
I couldn't manage those kids. Mm-hmm. And so I saw someone doing social work. And so I said, she sees one person at a time. I think I can do that. But then when I told my mother I wanted to be a social worker, and she said, a social worker and work with poor people? And then I said, no, psychiatric social worker. And she says, oh, no, not crazy people. She never thought that I would become a psychoanalytically psychotherapist.
Wow.
It never would have. I mean, for
well,
her.
Well, she was seeing it from the sickness side, not for
yes.
the fact that you were actually could actually help people.
I could do that.
Yeah.
And so from there, I went into hospital administration, and I never thought that I could actually do something other than being the therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, now, if I can do that, maybe I can do something else. Maybe there's something else I can wish for.
Mm-hmm.
So I eventually went into banking and got fired from my job, and my boyfriend wanted to start a little card shop.
Now, whoa, time out. You can't blow over that, Claire. You got to tell us why you got fired.
I was getting fired because I was a social worker at a bank, and I was vice president of human resources.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand the culture. I didn't understand about waiting my turn, getting a mentor, and all of this.
Ah.
And so if I saw I need something needed to be done, I moved ahead.
Uh-huh.
And so the bank sort of turned against me.
Ah.
And so they threatened to fire me. And I said, wait a minute, do you know what I do? I manage HR.
Right.
I know.
How do you fire the HR person? I never heard of that before.
And so I went back to them. I picked myself up and said, okay, if you don't want me here, I don't want to be here. But there's a number right here on this piece of paper. If I get that number, I'm out the door. And they gave it to me.
Wow.
And my boyfriend wanted to start a card shop, but he didn't have that much money. So now I had some cash, and so he said, we need to start a bookstore. I said, yeah. I never thought of it, but, you know, a card shop, bookstore, and I like books. I'm a bibliophile.
Right.
And that I fell into it.
And that was in Denver, wasn't it?
That was in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, that's what
and
I remember.
That was in the 80s. Early 80s.
Right.
And I loved it.
Somewhere along the way there, you had a couple of girls, too, didn't you?
That was before then.
I know. But
yeah, I had two daughters.
I don't want to leave them out because one of them helped you write your book, Alicia.
Thank God.
Yeah, Alicia. What's the other one's name?
Alicia. Huh?
What's the other one's name? Remind me. Linda?
Linda.
That's Linda. Right. Okay.
Linda's the one that did the article
She's the writer. Okay, you became an entrepreneur.
I became an entrepreneur. When you opened your book,
and it was a bookstore owned by a black woman was a little novel in Denver, wasn't it?
And remember, in Denver there were five black people and me. I didn't exactly
there
have.
There weren't many blacks on the Front Range. Is that what you're saying?
No, they really were not. but you know, I wanted to start my store, and I wasn't particularly very savvy about it. However, yeah. I had a lot of grit.
But you did. You're one of these people. You remind me of somebody asked me one time, "How did you do that?" And I said, "I didn't know. I wasn't supposed to."
That's right. I didn't know I wasn't.
You didn't know you weren't supposed to do that bookstore, were you?
No. And I didn't know about how much population you needed and all of that, but I started and made it work. But after 14 years, I wasn't able to get more than $350,000 a year. Yeah. Now, that is not enough money.
Right.
And I tried and tried. So finally, I sold it, retired in my 70s, and moved to New York to be close to my children and grandchildren. And somebody came to me and said, "No, Miss Villarosa, you need to open a bookstore in Harlem." Mm-hmm. And I said, "What?" I said, "I am done." And they said, "Barnes & Noble, we've been talking to them about putting a bookstore on 125th Street and 8th Avenue. But the Barnes & Noble doesn't feel that's his population.
Mm-hmm.
So would you be interested?" Now, I thought to myself, I don't want to do this. However, in Denver, I couldn't make enough money because I didn't have enough blocks.
Right.
But in Harlem, I got the numbers. Maybe I can open a store that will make $1 million.
Did you?
And
did you do it?
I did it. A million three after 3 years.
Wow. I remember that. I'd forgotten about the whole story, but I remember part of it. So,
right.
So what's going on with the bookstore now?
The bookstore, unfortunately, after 10 years, it closed.
Well, bookstores everywhere are closing. That was an indictment of you. It was an indictment of bookstores.
Right. A tsunami hit the book industry.
Yeah.
The disruption.
Called Amazon.
Of online, Barnes & Noble, all of that disrupted small industries.
But she didn't quit, folks. She wrote a book. She's still vital. She's still telling her story and helping other people, like her daughters, for example, and anybody who will listen, I promise you. Claire Villarosa and I will be right back. She's got some tips on wise aging, she says. Not just aging, but wise aging. And I'm looking forward to hearing about it.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.